I'm Vivian Nunez, and we're back with another episode of What Happened After. This time I'm talking to Brittany Xavier. Honestly, editing this episode and just listening back to the conversation as a whole makes this one of my favorite episodes ever. There was so much talked about here. We went through everything from TikTok to influencer culture to how she navigated having a daughter at the age of 19 and all the lessons that she learned since then and how she's kind of bringing that into her content now. So, honestly, no further introduction is needed. I just want you to listen to this conversation and grab from it what you will. I think it brings a lot of joy during this really uncertain time and a lot of reassurance that no matter what we are navigating, there is something that always comes on the other end. If you like what you hear, please share it with a friend, leave a review wherever you listen to podcasts, and give it some love. Here's Brittany. I am so pumped to have Brittany Xavier on for an episode of What Happened After. And Brittany and I actually had our first conversation like a year ago, which the world was just a very different place back then. And I was able to interview her for Forbes, and it's where I learned so much of her backstory and just who you are as a person and how you got to where you are. I was just completely fascinated and taken by all the different layers that your story has gone through and all the things that you have overcome. But overcome almost has like a sad tone to it. I don't even think it was that. You've just thrived through everything and now you're here and you're doing amazing things on TikTok, but also like in life. So I'm really, really excited to have this conversation and just to get some time to share you with the audience. I know, and like we were talking before we hit record, but you're a big fan of podcasts, so I was like, okay, maybe this will be a good get.
Yeah. Right up my alley.
Well, I want to start. Just introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit more about like who you are.
My name is Brittany Xavier, like Viv said. I started my blog and my Instagram as a hobby at the end of 2013, and now it's almost 7 years later. I started with my husband as... He was very into figuring out a camera, and we were really into wedding blogs at the time when we started our blog. So basically after we got married, it was a little depressing because I was like, oh, there goes all the wedding blogs. There goes all my planning and all. I had way more free time on my hands. We were both working corporate jobs, and we just thought it'd be a fun outlet, not even understanding, like, well, it actually wasn't that big of an industry when we started mm-hmm. as well, but... People were making money on it. I think I just was a little clueless to all that. So as our growth started picking up and as different brand accounts would feature me on Instagram, I got really motivated to continue figuring out what we need to do to continue growing. With my blog traffic, with Instagram, there wasn't stories then and there wasn't video on Instagram then. So it was just really perfecting our camera skills and figuring out different type of photos we wanted to do. So yeah, so that... It seems like forever ago, but like seems like when I was so much younger, but really wasn't that long ago. So now we're here, and I also have a 13-year-old daughter, and she has been really into... I actually started TikTok because...
I actually love that story, because one of your first videos was actually her just kind of teaching you guys what TikTok actually was.
Literally. She actually got in trouble because I monitor her weekly screen time. And from 1 week to the next, there was like a 2 hour, 3 hour jump on TikTok. And I thought it was weird because her Instagram time wasn't, or what is it called? Screen time wasn't, it was like 12 minutes. So I was like, okay, for some reason, it's not like she's just like on all these social media mm-hmm. apps. She's just like, this one is really taking over on her weekend. So I was like, what is TikTok? Is it appropriate? What are you doing? Why are you spending 3 hours on there, you know? And she's like, Mom, it's not that big of a deal. Like, you're freaking out for no reason. And so she showed it to me. I saw her account. She was doing, like, random little things mm-hmm. with her friends, you know? And so I downloaded it. I'm like, oh, this is interesting. And then I started scrolling. I'm like, this is so funny. I was so addicted. And obviously, like, I put a limit on her mm-hmm. to where she wasn't doing that for, you know, a Saturday, just, like, 3 hours in a row. But tried to talk to her about, like, let's be balanced. But... was interested with how there was a whole other audience on there than what I was used to on Instagram mm-hmm. and was interested after we had a birthday party for my daughter and all her friends. We had an arcade birthday party where I had like 3 hours for them to play the games mm-hmm. and I passed out the cards and they were all filming TikToks. I'm like, you guys, we need to use our cards. Like the money is going to run out. Like, Everyone stop recording whatever you're doing and go play. I was literally like, what are they all? They're all just filming TikToks. They were all hanging out together, talking about it. So it was really interesting after that too. I'm like, okay, this is a whole other culture that I could reach from trying to show what I'm doing on with fashion and beauty and lifestyle, but got me really motivated to figure it out. And
I think it's so interesting too, because
we've been having fun
with that. I know, it's so cool because like even the way you just described that is like Jaden, your daughter, was very much like your little personal case study in some ways of just market research on how usage shifted over from Instagram to TikTok. And the way that you've leveraged that has been really interesting. I think I started following along on TikTok, and I'm just definitely just a viewer on there, not a creator. But so I don't know like ins and out from the creation side, but I was always so impressed with just how finessed each of the videos were, and how...
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, like they were perfectly timed. My boyfriend does a lot of video stuff, so I'm always so appreciative when people are able to time things to beats and to music and to just like make sure the sequences flow so seamlessly. And you were doing such an amazing job at that. And like I could see how quickly you were growing on the platform itself. But it was interesting because I think sometimes people think that jumping on from one platform to the other requires almost building from scratch. But I think it requires just translating your content into that and not forcing it to become like your Instagram content on TikTok, but just taking what you 100%. Actually are doing and making that a TikTok conversation.
And it is a whole new platform too. So you really do have to spend time figuring out what works on there and why certain videos are in the For You page, which is how you get more exposure. But it's definitely not like if I was to upload one of my Insta stories on there and hope it would do well, it just wouldn't, because it's just a different type of audience. And it's, they really love that takeaway content where they're learning something or they're being really entertained. There's some added value. And if I was just doing a selfie story of like, hey guys, mm-hmm. like that would not do well.
You know what else is really cool is like, and I think it's one of the reasons I really wanted to have this conversation too, is that I'd been following you on Instagram for a while. And I think that the first time that I actually heard more of your backstory about you actually giving birth to Jaden and having her so young and then meeting your husband later and just going and almost becoming a lawyer and like going through the process and graduating and then putting off going to law school. I saw that for the first time through, I think, an Instagram you shared and directed people onto YouTube.
Oh, right. That was a Mother's Day YouTube I did. It was like the first time I shared my story.
And so I think the things I was drawing up for here was like you shifted the audience from Instagram to YouTube for that. And then you shifted. And then like some of the biggest, I don't know, TikTok hits. I don't know what they're called. But like the biggest things on TikTok for you were those videos. Were like, and so yeah. It's like it was almost like having to reintroduce your Instagram audience. So this is something that's actually a big part of my story that didn't come out as naturally there, which I thought was so interesting. Because for me, it was one of the more human parts of you, because it was just like, this is your real life and like how you actually navigate it. So I love it if you'd like to just share a little bit more of the story behind both Live Your Life but also creating that content.
Yeah, I feel like it was interesting because I shared it on YouTube and I don't have a huge YouTube following, so, and it's not really something I talk about on Instagram very much. I mean, obviously I post with my daughter and I'll post with my husband, but I do get the question a lot that she has blonde hair and me and my husband, we both have really dark hair. So I could tell that I was getting new followers on there and they're like, oh, you know, and I'm also getting a lot of Instagram followers from TikTok right now. So there, I could tell there's like a whole new audience that are just coming on my Instagram. They're like, oh, she's a model. I'm like, okay. It's like hard to explain what I do for people that are just jumping on my page and they're like, oh, what? Are you doing modeling photos or like, what are you doing? So I was trying to think of a way that could be very quick, but also obviously all the TikTok videos have to be under a minute. But just to kind of like bring it back to where people just assume that I've always had it easy. I've always been a stay-at-home mom and I just have nice things and I'm able to buy things. It's literally, that's never been the case for me. Obviously, you know, I've grown my business and it's done well, but I don't think I started out with an overall advantage as far as like being privileged. I definitely don't feel like I'm like that at all. And my family did fine growing up. I mean, I would say I was definitely middle class. We weren't wealthy and we weren't we weren't poor, but I do feel like I had to earn what I wanted. If I had to, if I wanted something more expensive that my mom could get me, then I'd have to save my money. You know, I worked in an ice cream shop. I was definitely like a hard worker, but I got pregnant when I was 19 and I came from a very conservative family. So that was a really hard time for me, but my parents ended up being really understanding and basically said, if you, whatever option you decide, that's literally on you, we'll help you with whatever decision, but we don't want to say like, hey, you have to have the baby or you have to get the baby up for adoption or any, or abortion. They were like, whatever you decide, you need to think about it and do it. And then we'll support you with whatever you decide. But that was a huge growing period for me because I was like, oh, I'm just going to, you know, have the abortion before they find out. Like, that's going to be easy for me. And I'll just, it was just a really, really struggle for me to like go through those motions now that I had it, that they had known. I was like, oh, now I have to decide without like, not just trying to cover it for my parents, just what do I want for myself? Right. So that was a really important turning point for me because it was like this, I'm my own person now. You know, I'm 19 and I'm going to be 20 if I have this baby or if I give this baby up for adoption or whatever. So I struggled a lot. Like I struggled a lot with the abortion. There's a few things that happened in my life that I just couldn't do it. Like different people had randomly come up to me. It was just like a whole thing where there were so many things pointing in my life that was like, you should not do that. So I didn't feel comfortable.
Do you believe in science?
I do. It's, there was some things where I was like, if I do this, like, I feel like there were so many warnings that I was like, I don't know. I actually talked to someone, this is totally science, you can take this off if anything, but it was so interesting. I talked to someone who didn't know I was pregnant at the time, and she was talking to my mom about something, but I mean, we had not told anyone, like no one knew. And she was saying that she was really struggling because she would have had a 25-year-old. Wow. And she was like, because she was like teary-eyed for some reason and something had happened. And she's like, I just can't get over the fact that I would have had a 25-year-old right now. And she's like, I never tell anyone, you know, it's just like it was his or her birthday today. It was just a weird moment where I was like, what is happening? You know what I mean? Like, this person has no idea what's going on in my life. She just thinks I'm like home from college. You know what I mean? So there was a few things like that that had happened where I was like, I have to take this for what it is. And like, would I be okay with saying I would have had a 25-year-old one day? Like, would I just be okay with it? So I think there was a lot of those things in my life that I was like, okay, you know, no, I don't want to do that. But I did want to do adoption. I was really like not wanting to have a baby. I was not maternal. I didn't like to babysit. I didn't want to get married. I didn't want to have kids. Like, I was just like wanted to work and do my thing. So to have a kid seemed like it was just going to tie me down so much. And it was just like the fact that I couldn't get myself to do the abortion, I was almost like mad at myself because I was like, you have to be stronger. You have to do it, you know? But I was like, I know myself mentally. I'm so mentally strong in certain areas that it's like, I know I would always fight with myself. So this is a long story. Sorry.
No, go for it. I mean, first of all, the fact that the science thing came up is so huge because I'm a big, very big believer in science and just like the universe being present. So that it definitely was just
100%. So I looked into different adoption agencies and I started looking through families that I was a little bit interested in. And I don't know what it was, but something came over me where I was like, I don't want, and this was around the 6-month mark. And I was like, I don't want any of these weirdos touching my kid. Like I started getting, protective, which is weird because I was so detached the whole time. I was like, this is not my baby. This is like meant to be because I'm going to give this baby to some family who can't get pregnant, you know? But then I was like, what if they're a pedophile? Like, I listened to a lot of true crime and I was just like, what if, you know, like there's no guarantee that that baby would have a better life that I could provide, you know? So I started going all the pros and cons. Of course, I'm a big thinker and a big researcher. And I do think that there's, you know, amazing stories with adoption, but I just couldn't get myself to get there mentally. So I had my daughter and I honestly think the minute I saw her, that is when it all switched for me. Cause I was so worried about not being maternal. I was so worried about seeing her and not feeling like she was mine or like that I could do it. And I feel like seeing her, like everything changed for me. I was like, okay, what do I need to do? Like, I don't care if I can't go out with my friends. Like all the things that I was caring about before was like, I don't care. I want to be the best mom for her. She deserves the best, you know. So luckily, my mom was like, I'm so glad you're maternal, because I was really worried. I'm like, me too. She's like, I'm so glad you're attached to her now, because I was like, oh, not my kid, not my kid, you know? Which is so bizarre for some people. They're like, how are you not attached? I'm like, that's just how I was.
You know, there's no one way to do anything in life. And especially now when there's so many, like, when it's such a big transition moment, or if even just tying it back right now to how everyone is living through coronavirus, it's like, everyone has their own specific way that they are coping with this. And whether they are detaching completely, or like completely consuming news, or completely whatever, it's just everyone is so specific and unique.
Right. And that's the thing too. I was also, because I was going to school, I had gotten, I'm trying to remember. So I was going to have her after my freshman year of college. I had gotten pregnant. So I basically took off that whole year to be pregnant, and I had scholarships. So I was able to go on a medical leave and keep that scholarship on pause so that I can still use it after, as long as I completed it like within the time frame. So I worked in Nordstrom and I wore a fake wedding ring because I was selling handbags, and I just felt the clientele like wouldn't buy from me if I was, you know, had to explain a single mom that's working and not in school. It sounded so much better to look like I was just a young married mom, you know, selling to these older ladies, you know, and sure enough, it worked. I was like one of the top sellers there. they loved my pregnancy. I never went into the marriage, but I was just like, oh, yeah. They're like, your husband must be eating you up. I'm like, oh, you know. I'm like, anyway, black bag. I just like, that was a coping measure for me. So then I went back to school after she was, so I had her in January, mm-hmm. and then I went back to school that September, and that was a whole, and I went to a different school after, because I was like, I didn't want to mm-hmm. be at the same campus where my ex was, and I wanted to just get away from that and like that whole crowd. Mm-hmm. So I started school, and my mom would bring my daughter to me so I could nurse her in between. It was literally like insane. When I look back, I'm just like, I can't even. So I was political science as undergrad. But I honestly think that I was always a hard worker and I always had good grades, but having her really made me so focused that I feel like really, I don't know. I was like, I always had good grades, but then after that, I feel like I was nailing every one of my research papers. I was exhausted because I was working full time, but then I was also working. The nice thing about working at Nordstrom was that I was able to work weekends. So I would go to school those 3 days a week, full time at school, and then the other days I would work. So I technically was able to do full time work and full time school, which was really nice as far as the scheduling. But it was really draining. Like, that was the most draining time I've ever experienced. And also trying to go home and make sure that I was spending time with her. My mom helped out so much, but I definitely wanted to be like, I'm taking care of her when I'm home. I don't want you to just still be like watching her. So I would do my research papers after she went to bed. And I feel like that was a huge growing time for me because I was so good with time management. So my friends would complain at school the next day, be like, oh, haven't done my paper. I'm like, literally, you have so much time. Your parents pay for you to stay at home so you don't have to work. How do you not have your paper done? I was just could not comprehend that, you know. But I do think that that really has shaped how my work ethic mm-hmm. is and just how motivated I've been. And I do think that that's helped my business succeed too.
I was gonna say, it's so full circle. I mean, even we started the whole conversation with how Jaden was the reason why you were introduced to TikTok.
She's helping me with TikTok. It's so true though, because I mean, I do feel like it is good to share that side of my story though, because I was so hesitant with it for a while. Like, I just didn't want it, and also she was younger too, right. So I didn't want her to be like, wait, why are you, you know, like, you didn't want me, or, you know, she understands now, like, what I went through, but she was, like, little at the time, and she was 6 when I started my blog, so I didn't want to be like, oh, you know, I struggled with what to do, right. She's like, what? But I do think that that does help me connect with my audience, and I put the video on TikTok, and I've never been more blown away by my DMs that I have my DMs turned off on TikTok, so people had to go to my Instagram to write me, and so many people, it was so bizarre, were like, I feel like such a loser. I'm pregnant right now, and like your story is giving me so much hope. And just like these other stories where like what I said before, where someone had what I said about my mom's friend, where she's like, I would have had a 25-year-old. A few people wrote me like that, and they're like, I regret that decision. Like, I look at your story and like makes me happy, but also makes me sad for me, you know? And it's, I got such a variety of people that wrote me that had some kind of connection to this, what I had went through, or they were someone who was adopted and they're so happy that they were adopted and that their family, you know, made that decision. So I got like a whole variety. It was crazy just to see like how that little video, it just kind of made it all. I mean, obviously, like I gained a lot of followers and it was like a good, you know, obviously it was a lot of, because tons of people sent it to each other. But it was also too, like, if I could have made a difference in someone where, it sounds so stupid, but
no, it's not
if
stupid
they
at all.
Really, I mean, it sounds super cliche, but it's like if they didn't feel like they could do school or they had to pick one or the other, I wanted my story to make sure that people know that having a child obviously changes your life a ton, but it doesn't end it. And so I think that's what I always had in my mind with getting pregnant. I was like, oh, my life's over. I'm not going to have a life. This is going to be me in some shitty apartment. Or, sorry.
You can go ahead.
That's what I'm thinking. Like, having a kid is going to, I'm not going to be able to do anything that I wanted to do. And that's actually not true at all, because so many things in my life happened. Like, I literally met my husband because of me working in Nordstrom, and I met a girl there that I went to dinner with, who I like hadn't seen in a while. So I went to dinner with her, and she had known his friend. It was like,
oh,
this
really?
Whole weird circle.
That's awesome.
Which if I didn't work in Nordstrom in the first place, I would have never met him. So because we lived in totally different areas, we were hanging out with different crowds of people. So just little things like that really makes me realize that, like, obviously, like, I love my life now, and it was a struggle in the beginning for sure, but I wouldn't want to change it. Like, I wouldn't go back and be like, oh, I wish I was, you know, that all those struggles really did pay off. And obviously it's not like my life's perfect. That's not the case at all. But a lot of learning lessons came from it that I hope that I can still share with people, because otherwise I think it's just pointless to go through it.
And that's the thing, right? Like, even when you're like, it's not cliche, right? I think it's the heart of why people end up connecting with other people. I mean, I literally built a whole career off of just talking about the fact that I lost my mom and I lost my grandmother, and like, I've navigated this grief, but also I have a life that is fun and happy, and like, that there is more outside of that or alongside of it that exists that can still be your reality no matter what you go through. And I think that that's exactly why people connected to the video and just to you talking about it in general. My whole pitch, right, for this podcast was like, I just want to talk to her about her life, because because that is a side of you that probably a lot of people know but don't really know, or haven't really heard you talk about it like explicitly, like beyond the 1 minute cuts and stuff. But it's, right, also just like, that's the human being, right? I mean, you know, I've said this to you like the first time we spoke, but it was like, I'm a huge fan of what you do just stylistically and like photography wise and how creative you are and like how smart you are with how creative you are. I think that that is not, I don't think that that's something that you can, sometimes like stuff like that, you can pick up some of the skill sets, but some of it is just gut. And it's like, oh, this is going to work and this is going to be cool and this is going to like function in this X, Y, Z way. But more than that, it was like, oh, this is a real person who's gone through shit and like come out the other side.
Yeah.
And that's what people connect with. It's the ability to actually see someone. And then like, you don't exist in a vacuum or in a bubble, right? That was the other thing we talked,
right,
about right before we hit record, was just, you've been doing such an amazing job at elevating the conversation around coronavirus in ways that are relatable and like meet your followers exactly where they are right now, which is they're scared and they don't know what's happening and they want to figure out how to help. Like, you've been making the ear extensions for like the behind them, for the masks for all of our frontline workers, and like buying a 3D printer to be able to do that. Like, that's so cool, like to be able to use,
yeah,
your, what you have, the resources we do have, to help someone else.
And I think I've noticed too that I think it's so easy to, outside of this whole situation, to be like so disconnected and, you know, just be like turn off what's happening on the news because there's not big crises going on. But now I've really noticed that even for me, like people I'm following, if they haven't mentioned one thing about coronavirus that day or like how someone can be better or like a little bit more safer or just aware, it's like, what are you doing? You know, like at least if you have somewhat of an influence right now more than ever, at least direct them to like the most credible news source that they can find one thing. Like maybe it's a take-home fact that's just like super simple and like, you know, about sanitizing your groceries or you don't need to, or you know what I mean? Like something like, it doesn't need to be a Trump versus whoever, but it can be very like take-home level. Like literally when I had filled out the small business, you know, that loan thing, the $10,000 grant. And I mean, we don't qualify for the, what's it called? The stimulus checks they were sending to everyone. So I was like looking into everything. And I put on my story and so many people had responded saying that they hadn't known about that or that they hadn't filled it out, which was crazy because it does feel like it was all over the news. You know how it was like, there's this, I mean, it's a grant you don't have to pay back, so you might as well fill it out, you know? And I thought that was so crazy because a lot of these people who are following me are also following other influencers and also other not I'm a celebrity, but like they're following people with big influences. And the fact that they didn't know about it, I'm like,
there have been a lot of conversations as a whole, and I won't rope you into like the nuances of that, but like just like about how the influencer culture as a whole is very, I think, polarized right now. And like you have the people who are actually like, talking about life, and then the people who are just trying to sell stuff. And that's like a really weird part too, because it is like a business, right? So obviously your business is a business, and like you have to find revenue streams that are going to support that, but not disregarding the fact that a lot of people don't have disposable income right now, right? They don't have, like things have shifted drastically, and this isn't the time to ignore that. And it also doesn't have to be the time to step away from whatever your specific angle is online, right? But it...
Right. Like, you can incorporate ways that are, like, the messaging is right. Exactly. And you're being sensitive to what people are going to. I did a questions mm-hmm. tab. Just to see, I was actually looking for TikTok video ideas because I'm like, it's really hard for me now to do TikTok videos on how to style a weekend outfit. That's what I was doing before. Yeah. And I was doing all Fashion Week content before. So it was very easy for me to quickly bust out these outfit videos. But now I'm like, I don't want to be tone deaf and be like, oh, here's four heels to like elevate your weekend. And you're like, I'm literally on my couch watching Netflix. Thanks for understanding what we're going through. So I'm trying to be like sensitive, but also not understanding too that they aren't going to be on their couch forever. So like maybe we can do some inspo posts. I have no idea. I was just trying to get a feel for what they're thinking. So many people said that they lost their jobs or their family that they were living with had lost their jobs. And they're interested if I have any online sales that they can tell me about, any DIY. They had a lot of acne requests for just, and I'm sure that's a lot to do with stress that people are going through too. So definitely not the type of typical videos that I would typically get asked about, like, how did you save money as a young mom and all these different, I'm like, I'm not a financial advisor. You know what I mean? I'm like, I don't know if I could do a video on that, but like a lot of like real life take home, like they need help with basic things.
Yeah. So and it's like, I write a lot on the mental health side of things and grief. Right. And I feel like everyone is grieving right now, no matter what.
Right.
And so even talking about that more openly and being like, hey, it's okay if you're not an expert at this, like on day four, like no one is an expert on this. We have never had to go through something like this. And like even when I talk about, when I've talked to people who have lost people now or who are dealing with a lot of grief, I'm like, this is not anywhere close to what I know of as grief, right? Because I didn't lose my family in the pandemic. Like it was a moment in time that was like very mine, but this feels so shared if you lose someone right now, because it's, everyone is losing someone or losing something. And so it just shifts the dynamic so much, but it's relevant to have those conversations. People want to just feel like they're safe, right? And like that you're not asking them more than what they're actually being able to do. And it makes so much sense. I think that's why it's been so comforting to like click through like your IG stories or just your content in general, because it's 100% very exactly where I am or where someone else is. That, honestly, that DIY face mask video, I screen recorded it from when you did it on TikTok. I shit you not. And, like, sent it to my uncles and was like, this is how you make one. I swear. Because they're obviously not on TikTok. I can't just share the whole thing.
Right.
But, like, I literally screen recorded it and was like, okay, here's, like, the tutorial. Like, you just have to do it this way. Because they didn't have
masks. It was so funny, though, because... Mm-hmm. I literally got that idea from a Forbes article because I had read where they said CDC will require or will suggest. So I had read that morning. That was that Saturday morning. And I clicked on the Forbes article that I was reading it on, and they put a DIY. They're like, they're going to recommend you DIYing your mask. I'm like, what? Are you kidding me? Like, you know, you're thinking you're just going to get, you're going to buy them somewhere, buy the cloth ones. But I went on it, and there was all, it was a link to all these YouTube videos on it. And so I went to the one that was like the most easy to try to figure out. But after I recorded it, I'm like, is anyone going to do this? Because I'm like, this, I mean, it does work when you put on, but it's like so weird that they're recommending a DIY mask. You know, it seems so makeshift. But it definitely, like, I think it works. Like, it's definitely, if you do it right, like, if you stuff it, it's, I mean, not that many. I sprayed perfume to test. Like, I couldn't get anything through. But I posted it, and then as I refreshed that article, it says CDC now. Like, it literally had, they had just updated their guidelines. I'm like, this is perfect. And I think that's why I was shared so much, because it was, I was sharing it to be like, they will do it soon. So here, prep yourself, or like, go buy, you know, cloth, whatever. But it literally, they updated it, and I was like, oh, well, I already have the video. So it was crazy, though. My mom, like, sent it to people. She's like, this is insane. Like, I mean, it's just, like, those little takeaway things that everyone has, like, some type of cloth at home, right, you can make it from. But, and that's not the type of content I would ever post to my Instagram usually. But, like, now I'm just, like, not caring about my feed. I'm like, I'm just going to, if it's helping people right now, like, who cares? I can get back to an editorial feed, like, maybe in a year. Yeah, like, I don't even know. I'm just, like, posting whatever
and
right now.
That's a cool thing, right, too. I've heard a lot of people talk about, like, there is no new normal to return to. Like, we're just going to figure out what's next and go to there. And I honestly think, like, I'd be surprised if you end up doing, and obviously it's, like, business choices, but, like, if you end up just going back to exactly how your feed was prior, or, like, your content was prior. I think that there's too much of an appetite from your audience that's going to constantly continue to just grow and grow to have more of the you content, right? Because I think that before it's an awesome mix of you kind of representing all these different brands and, like, the clothes and the inspiration, and it's very aspirational, right? Like, people wanted to buy that, do that, be that. But now it's more like you're just inspirational and you're just comforting, and, like, that's a really cool place to be on the internet, right? Because you are the person, like, people go to when they're like, I just want, like, the girl who's gonna, that I'm not gonna hate watch, right? That I'm just gonna actually be my friend and, like, is comforting in that way. So I'd be surprised if you don't end up just expanding more of your content pillars to, like, include all this other stuff down the road.
I know. It's been a really interesting shift because I came the stay-at-home kind of started, like, right when I got back from Fashion Month. So it was, like, from one designer shift to, like, literally being like, I'm in sweats, and it's like I had more furniture coming that was supposed to get delivered, and they held off on all the deliveries got canceled because I wanted the ones that, like, helped me up the stairs. And so I'm like, I don't even have, like, cute stuff to take photos in front of. I'm like, this is, like, I mean, that's, like, the least, you know, it's not a bad problem, but it's just, like, my place, we had just moved not too long ago, and I'm like, I'm not even set up to be shooting in home. I have white walls everywhere. I'm like, oh, well, let's just go with it, you know? It's just, like, no one was ready for this at all. But at the same time, I'm trying to get creative with just, like, where in other corners of my house can I shoot? It's just, like, and I have a backyard, so I can do a little bit, but it's like, I don't know, it's not like it's as easy to do when you're just running outside and you're doing a street style photo. That was so simple for me, but it's now it's like I really need to make sure that if I'm going to take the time to do something at home, like, what am I offering? What is it giving someone who's watching on the Instagram or my TikTok? Like, is it benefiting them today? Or maybe they can save it for, I'm like, oh, it's an online sale or whatever, but would love them to come to my page each day and feel like, at least from her stories, I can find some little fact to do a take home for coronavirus or what my daughter's been looking into, you know, like showing what she's into right now, something. Because I know I do have a lot of followers that are from her age group too, that are just like, I love your daughter, you know. It's funny because it's just like, it's cute too, because she's like in that age where she's like really discovering herself and she's, you know, getting into a lot more different hobbies. So trying to just be aware of who my followers are too.
How have you been coping, like, on a personal level, just with everything? Because you've been, I know the emotional tax that it can take to just feel like you constantly have to, like, inform others or just feel like, okay, this is what I'm doing. And like, I know I'm helping someone else. I know I'm helping someone else by doing all this, but that's emotionally taxing at times. So how are you, like, how, what's helping you cope through this time?
I think the first week I was actually a little depressed because it was like, my daughter was sad. She had this big field trip that they had planned forever for. And she was sad because she was like, that's it. You know, that was before it started. We understood like how big it was, but her school was even talking about like, oh, we don't think we'll have to close. Like the governor hasn't said anything yet. And then literally from like one day to the next, they're like, your guys are not coming back for at least a month. And I think it was going through that where she was like, wait, what? Like, I'm not going to see. She came back from spring break and then they never started school again. So they never, after spring break, everyone was like, oh, we'll see you next week. And then that was it. So we went through that where it was like weird. Every day felt like a weekend. We're like, we're all staying up till 4 a.m. watching movies. And then the next day we're sleeping until noon. Honestly, it was like such a weird week for us. We're like, this is not summer vacation, you know? And I was on such a, I'm such a night owl already. So for me to be like, oh, it's fine, I can sleep in for a little bit tomorrow, like, that just totally threw me off. The whole week was like a really depressing, like, weird feeling. And the following week, I was like, I have to snap out of this. Like, I have to, like, I work from home. Like, it's not like my work is completely gone, but I have to be creative of like what I can do to stay mentally fine, because obviously I don't want to just be sitting. It's depressing to honestly stay in your pajamas every day. Like, I know people say it really does help you to get ready, and it honestly does. Like, when I get ready, if I put on a little tinted moisturizer and I brush my hair, I feel like a different person. And just like that mental help is what I really need. I'm like, Jaden, you're getting ready each morning, you're making your bed, and I literally don't care if we don't go anywhere, you're getting ready at least a little bit to where you feel like you had a morning routine. But I did feel super, super overwhelmed that second week, because I've always been like, oh, I'm going to clean different cupboards and like figure out I have a whole beauty wall that's needs to be reorganized and needs to, you know, pull out the things that might be expired. And I have put that off since before Fashion Month. And then I felt like I had extra time at home, but I still wasn't doing it. And every time I walk by, I'm like, oh, I should be doing that, but I have other stuff to do. I have other emails. Like, I have things I should be doing as far as work. But when you're at home, you look around, you're like, oh my God, the kitchen, I could probably redo that weird cupboard. I threw all the things when we first moved in, and I actually didn't want to put those there. So it's like all those things started to overwhelm me a little bit, because I'm like, I don't like to clean. I don't like to, I'm not like a DIY homemaker. Like, you know what I mean? I'm not that kind of person. And I definitely don't cook. So it's like, for me, now we were like getting all these frozen foods. I'm like, oh, this is just a weird feeling, because I love being able to go to the coffee shop. Like, that whole thing just felt like I had no routine. But I read a really interesting article that I actually shared on my Instagram, where it hit me in a good time too, because it was talking about stop being so productive. And yes. And honestly, it helped me so much, because it was like, this is how I'm feeling. Obviously, other people are feeling like this too, if she was able to write an article on it. But it made me feel a lot better, because I did feel like, oh, I should be in the best shape of my life right now. Like, I'm at home, I should be working out. And just the clean, I felt like my house should have already been like completely clean, and I hadn't even started anything. So I felt like overwhelmed, but I was also like, I have to like still work. I have to make sure Jaden's schooling's done. I'm helping her with things that like typically her teachers would be helping her with, you know? So my whole schedule didn't feel like I was having like a set schedule, but I was just like, okay, let's get through today. So I feel like that article really helped me, because obviously I don't want to be lazy and like sitting around every day, but it did help me feel like less guilty about like, you know what, if I was at my office every day, like typically when we have our office open, I wouldn't be thinking about the cleaning stuff. What would I be doing on every day typically? And then like, let's worry about it after I would typically get home. So I've been really trying to keep that in mind, where it's like, I'm not going to feel guilty about if like my bathroom's not spotless. Like, that's just not me as a person. I'm not like an OCD clean person. So why am I going to be on my best self like during quarantine, like where it's like world global crisis, you know? So I really like that article said that. It really brought it home for me.
Yeah, I saw a tweet that went around too at that time that was like, you know, it's not that you're just working from home. You're like trying to work from home in the middle of a pandemic and like trying to like survive that. And that's just a whole different context to everything. But I think what I hope anyone who is listening to this really pulls away from it is just the fact that, you know, we all go through really hard moments. Just so happens that right now we're all going through the same really hard moment in different ways across the world. But then we end up coming out on the other side in different ways, and it ends up shifting. I mean, your whole career trajectory shifted when you had Jaden, and then
yeah,
where you end up now is just like literally still shifting because of Jaden. And like, right. So it's so wonderful to be able to see how you've kind of come full circle in that.
And that's what I try to keep positive about this whole situation too, is that I was listening to an interview yesterday, and they were saying after 9/11, everyone was like, life's never going to be the same. You know, we'll never get back to normal. But the new normal was now we have TSA, and now we have to do a whole, like, that the normal before was actually very risky. Like, that could have happened at any other time. You could literally walk up to the flight and wave to someone who you didn't have to have a ticket. So they were saying, like, now it seems bizarre to even think about there not being TSA. But there was a time where that wasn't even normal. So it's interesting because it's like we are all mourning the loss of like what our normal is. But I do think that there can be some like positive changes from all of this, that maybe some people will be able to still work from home after this. Like, maybe they've been really trying to talk to their boss and be like, hey, I can do this from home and I can be really productive doing it from home. And because I have children that I like need to drop off at school or whatever. But maybe now there's like no other case to argue against it because you've worked from home for the last 6 to 7 months. So I really do think that there's going to be a new type of normal that could be positive in some areas too. Like, we have to look at the positive after all this somehow to like stay sane.
I know, 100%. Like we said like earlier too, like I think that this is going to end up shifting and really underscoring how important mental health is in a way that hadn't been there prior, right? May yes. is Mental Health Awareness Month specifically, and I 100% think that more people are going to be rallying around it this time around just because everyone is feeling some degree of the effect of mental yeah. health strain right now.
And it's interesting because I'm obviously quarantined with my daughter and my husband, but I was thinking about that because, like, let's say I was quarantined by myself. Like, I have some friends who are like that right now, and I honestly think I'd be a lot more depressed because I'm such a social person. I love, like, I don't love to like go out all the time as much as like I love to talk to people and I love to be interacting, but I would be really struggling with that, I feel like, right now if I was just by myself. Oh, and I'm understanding that there's so many people like that right now, and that I would have to be the one fully going to the grocery store all the time. Like, right now my husband's like, he doesn't want us going anymore, so we're never out doing that. So he's running for us, and he's like, you know, I can be safer, I can be quick, you know.
I know, my boyfriend has been doing the same thing because he's also 100 times quicker than I am at the grocery store. I linger.
He's like, I do not want you going to Target because you'll be there forever. I'm like, yes, I'll be going through the candle aisle. He's like, no, I'm going in, getting what we need, and we're leaving. So that's been weird to think that I would have to still do all that by myself if I was by myself. So I'm trying to keep that in perspective too, because there's so many people who are not in my situation where they like still have someone next to them, physically next to them. And I mean, obviously, like, we're going crazy with each other sometimes too. I'm like, oh my god, we've literally been together so much now. But I mean, I am thankful at the end of the day because I'm like, it's nice to have people with me here in this weird time, you know.
And to have someone, like, I live with my boyfriend, and my depression was probably, like, that was the scariest part going into quarantine, was just like, I wonder how my depression will act through this and how it will be triggered, because staying in usually triggers it a lot and makes me feel like, oh yeah. my god, I'm scared to go outside now because I've been inside so long, and it kind of just sets off this whole spiral. And it's been really helpful to be living with my boyfriend during this time, because I'll tell him, like, I told him at the beginning, I was just like, okay, like, this is my fear, and so, like, every few days you have to actually push me outside the door and tell me, like, right. you have to go for a walk, like, we're just gonna go for a walk,
you have to get some sun on your face or something.
And that helps so much. And I think, you know, whether anyone is like physically with someone right now or virtually, I've been calling my family so much more than I probably ever have.
Same. My mom's probably shocked because I'm like, hey, how are you doing? She's probably like, what?
I swear, I'm like, every day I call my sister-in-law and I'm like, okay, what are like my nephews doing, what are, like, show me them, show me some little babies. And it just makes you so much more comforted to know that they're like, everyone is going through it, but everyone is also like, I mean, in some ways, look, the fact that we could put this conversation together in like a week and a half or 2 weeks is probably due to the fact that we are all home, because you're not, your schedule would have been so. Then
I mean, I had so many trips that were started getting put on hold when I was in Europe still, but then when I got back, they were like, no, we literally can't do them, it's all going to be pushed only for like a few weeks, but then it was like, no, everything's getting canceled. So I was like, really, I have no trips coming up. It was kind of relieving at first because I felt like I was on vacation because I was like, oh, I don't have to repack again for a while. But then it started to set in. I'm like, I don't know when I'm going to go somewhere.
Yeah. like right now, honestly, it's one of those things too, like we were saying prior, like I'd be scared to get on a plane right now. Like I'm going to need a second before I can feel like really comfortable with that.
And the funny thing is, and I've always been a bit of a germaphobe, so my friends have always made fun of me that I always carry hand sanitizer. I'm always wiping down my seat on the flight. And knock on wood, I haven't had the flu in like 8 years because I'm psycho about washing my hands. And I honestly think that's the reason why I will never touch my face in public. So it was funny when they were talking about if I go to Disneyland, I'm a freak. I'm like, oh my God, don't touch anything. Don't touch the metal. I'm seriously crazy. But I do think that's why I don't get sick very much because I travel. I have a pretty good immunity, but I also just never touch my face in public unless I can also, like, even when I get home, I'm always like, wash your hands. So it was funny when they were releasing all things about washing their hands. I'm like, do people not wash their hands after they come home from stuff? Like, I was like, my mom raised me like that too. She's like, wash your hands before you, every time we come from home from the store, she'd be like, wash your hands. So it was kind of ingrained in me to always, you know, wash your hands. And it's just something so simple, but it really does protect you from just putting something in your mouth that you didn't even realize you touched the gas station or, so it's so interesting. I don't even know why I was talking about that, actually.
We're good.
Way on a tangent. That's what I'm saying. Like, going back on a flight, like, mm-hmm. I'm already freaked out about germs. Like, I would be, like, full, like, hazmat suit.
Honestly. Because it's just too, like, I don't know. This is a scary time. And I think that the fact is that we don't have a lot of information, which is honestly probably the biggest trigger for everyone across the board, is not knowing. Like what?
Right. Or knowing if you can get it again. Like, if I can't get it again, then let me just get exposed to it now. That's what I think. I'm like, let me just get, you know, it's like the chicken pox where you would be exposed to it and your parents would be like, okay, just get it. So it's done and out of the way. It's better when you're younger than getting it when you're older. Obviously now they have the vaccine, so that wouldn't happen. But I wonder if it's going to be something like that or they're going to just keep waiting for a vaccine. I don't know. Like, I honestly don't know.
But it's why.
And that's, I think, what is scary.
Yeah. And it's, I think, why it's, like, so comforting to have these conversations and just connect with people because we don't know what the hell the world is, but we do know that we know people and we know how to connect and we know how to still be present in each other's lives in whatever way, shape, or form. And
I do think that it helps that we're all experiencing it in a weird way because let's say the U.S. was just experiencing it and Europe was, there was no cases, everyone was fine, going about as usual. I do think that would be a very weird feeling if, like, not that we want everyone in the world to get it, but it's like that everyone is quarantined wherever in the world they are right now or, like, facing that type of dilemma. It's not just California. It's not just San Francisco. Like, everyone is facing it. So I do feel, like, a little comforted knowing that, like, okay, I'm not going out, but no one else is either. It kind of brings me a little bit of hope as far as, like, everyone is trying to get back to normal as much as we can, but
and there's more understanding.
Obviously we have to do it together.
Yeah, right. And, like, there's more understanding. Like, if someone emails me and is like, well, I can't do this because this is just a really hard day with my kids or whatever, like, you just have a little bit more empathy for people because you know that everyone's just trying to get it to the end of the day.
100%. And I'm being a little bit more lenient with my daughter too, because, like, there's some nights, like, I checked her screen time. I'm like, okay, you were supposed to go to bed at 11 and you were up until 12, you know, like, what were you doing? She's like, oh, I was FaceTiming. I'm like, typically I'd be a lot more strict, but I'm just like, literally, I need to just chill because she's just trying to chill too. You know, like, we're all just trying to get through it. So
we definitely are. I'm really appreciative for all your time on this conversation. I'm, like, honestly so excited to have everyone listen to it and just be able to learn a little
bit
more
about
you. Thank
you so much. This was so fun.
Where can people find you online?
You can find me at Brittany Xavier on Instagram and at Brittany.Xavier on TikTok. Someone already had my other name. And I never moved it over. So we have the dot.
I honestly cannot put into words just how marvelous that conversation was. She is dynamic. We actually did an IG live after we recorded before this episode dropped, and we were able to talk about all things mental health. She actually cares so much about how people are navigating their world and the space that she holds within their mind during the day and the way that she's able to use her platform for good, whether it's through giving fashion advice or just life advice. So if you enjoyed the conversation, make sure to follow Brittany on Instagram or TikTok and give a little love to the podcast. Share it with a friend who you think will enjoy the conversation. leave a review on Apple Podcasts, and make sure to tune in next Tuesday when I have a new episode of What Happened After. Until then, stay safe, find joy in the moments that you can, and understand that resilience is something that you train and you can have more of it as you keep on going.